Hope everybody had a wonderful day. I want to thank Rabitz for covering last night. So Rabitz told me he discussed the special properties in the psukim that govern the initiation of unique brachos in the context of bread, moti lechem min haaretz, whether it's eretz asher lo v'miskanus tochal v'lechem, the special status of lechem, or yayin, yayin yisamach levav enosh, atzil panav mishamen, v'lechem levav enosh yisad. So you have the same pasuk. So I know Rabitz mentioned that that point last night, which is very, very critical to understanding, you know, the unique status of those particular foodstuffs. So we also, of course, find this, it's not just a halacha in brachos, but it's a halacha in other areas, in agricultural areas as well. We know when the Torah speaks about trumos and maisros on a Torah level, what does it talk about? Dagan talks about bread, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. It talks about tirosh, what's tirosh? Borei pri hagafen also talks about yitar, also about the zayis, which is one of the shivas haminim. So again, you know, this is not like an isolated area, but should be understood in its broader context. So I just wanted to follow up with the minority view of Rabbi Yehuda. So we know that Rabbi Yehuda, at the end of the Mishnah, in addition to the five regular brachos that we, you know, find discussed in the Mishnah, with Hagafen and Hamotzi, we already mentioned, and the Ha'etz and Ha'adama, and more on that in just a second, Shahakol, which is lurking in the background, which is hidden from the Mishnah, and perhaps, you know, again, not as an accident, but Shahakol is, I remember when I was learning in high school, my Rebbe explained it as there was a product at the time called the Uncola. It was a very unsuccessful product. It was before like Coke Zero. It was called like Uncola or Non-Cola or something like that. What's that? It was a Coca-Cola product. It was very short-lived. So he used that as an analogy. The Shahakol in some ways is the non-bracha, because the whole idea of a bracha is to be very specific. So to say Shahakol, that God created everything, so that is not really the idea of a bracha, but if it can't be grouped under anything else, so then a shakol. And we'll talk about points related to that in just a few moments from now as we wrap up tonight. So we know that Rabbi Yehuda, as discussed, has this minority view, which is not accepted halacha, of borei minei desha'im. Now desha is referred to at the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis, so it's Seha'aretz desha, Esav Mazria Zera, and Rashi explains that Esav is one stalk, one blade of grass, and desha is like a whole lawn. So there's a difference between different things that grow out of the ground. So like, let's say you have a standard cucumber, that's a regular hadama, and Rabbi Yehuda would agree with that. But then there are things that grow like seeds, things that grow as herbs. And that's where Rabbi Yehuda would draw a distinction, because it's not the same as a pre-ha'adama. So again, you see here the emphasis which is put on specificity. If you're thanking God already and acknowledging God's creation, you want to be very specific. If Sasi makes somebody a beautiful, beautiful ornament in his industry, he doesn't want to say, oh, thanks for the gift. They want the person to be specific. What exactly the cut was, what exactly the design was, what the shape was, so that when somebody write you a thank you letter, how beautiful it was, it would be very nice for them to describe it. So it's important to think about brachos in that way. Okay, let's talk a little bit about hierarchy. So we know that trees grow from the ground. We've observed this phenomenon. So in principle, a person who recited over an apple or an orange, or the proper bracha is borei pri ha'etz, a person would say borei pri ha'adama, that would be acceptable b'dieved, because it's not wrong, okay? The tree grew out of the ground and the fruit grew out of the tree, so it's a few steps removed, but it would be better to be more specific. Now, the opposite would not be true. Like, if you take a cucumber and say borei pri ha'etz, that would be a problem, right? Because it actually does not grow on a tree. So b'dieved, and ex post facto, there's all kinds of hierarchies in terms of brachos. So a person who said a shahakol, in theory, again, a person should research it, but in theory, a person could say that over any food. But again, we want to try and be as specific as possible. So let's now differentiate between different kinds of fruit. So there are certain things that grow on a tree that very typically undergo a process before eating them, and there are certain things that go on a tree that don't undergo any process. So how many people here have been apple picking? Dan, you gotta go. You gotta go apple picking. Go with Sarah, it's a lot of fun. What's that? Any time in your life. Okay, so you know, the apple grows on the tree. Okay, anytime. Okay, I didn't say this year. Anytime. Okay, so, you know, when apples grow on the tree, are they ready? They're ready. Yeah, they're ready. So you say a borei pri ha'etz over that, okay? Now, the question is, let's say you have something which grows on a tree. Let's see if anybody could think of an example, which the normal thing to do before a person would actually consume it would be to process it in some way. Let's say to cook it, that most people wouldn't just eat this straight. And if you need help, we could use a vegetable. It could be kind of an easier thing. Let's use a... What's that? Okay, very good. So coconut, you know, again, not too much processing, doesn't need to really be cooked. Let's say, okay, let's take something that grows out of the ground, potato, okay? How many people here, you know, eat raw potatoes? This is generally not the thing that's done. Usually they're cooked in some way. So here's the irony when it comes to brachos. So you take something that's normally ate, kamosha hu chai. That's the principle. The way that it grows, the way that it grows normally, so that would receive a bari preitz. Now, if you would somehow process that, again, in an abnormal way, there are plenty of people who eat baked apples. So an apple probably isn't the best example. Does anybody know anybody who eats baked oranges? Really? Okay, so that's really interesting. So that would be an example of something that was degraded from its original state. I'm sure it's very delicious. And that would be taken down from ha'etz to a shahakol. So let's talk about it the other way. What bracha would you make over a raw potato? Seems like an obvious thing, ha'adama, right? But that's not nachal kamoshu chai. I don't know anybody, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know anybody who eats potatoes straight out of the ground, unless, you know, they're starving, they're desperate, but they undergo some kind of processing, right? I think so, right? So if a person would eat a potato that hadn't been prepared properly, the bracha would actually be, you know, shakal, right? So you have to actually prepare it in the normal way. So this is a very important principle. Is that, yeah? That's a good question. Right. So there isn't. Yeah. And again, I'm sure there are people who do, you know, potatoes also. Right. So, yeah. So it's a good question. So normally the principle that we use in these things is rove. That, you know, we say bat l'daito etzel rove adam, that it's not really subjective to the individual, but the bracha should probably reflect the way that the majority of the population behaves. So I'm going to assume for the moment, you correct me if I'm wrong, that probably 90% of people don't just eat raw onions, take an onion out of the ground and start eating it. I think most people process them in some way, in which case it would really be even a miyot she'eno matzo. It wouldn't be a very common thing. So we could try to research that a little bit, but it would seem like a pretty clear case to me of where the appropriate bracha, if it didn't undergo some kind of processing, just take it out of the ground, would probably be a shahakal. So again, you got to know where it grows, and you also have to know a little bit about the way that these things are handled. So I thought this was a very important point to raise before we move on in the parak, because what it really gets at is sort of like the nature of what it means to make a bracha, and why it is that we're making a bracha to begin with. So up until just a moment ago, all we had discussed was this idea of thanking God for giving us different kinds of things in the world, like fruits and vegetables, and according to you, the herbage, things that even grow low to the ground, and that's all very important. That's all kind of objectively defined. But then there's another piece of it, which is like, what does this mean to me? How does this relate to the human being? So we just talked about how a human factor comes into it as well. So, you know, if you had a potato, it's still the same potato, you should say, well, it came out of the ground either way. Why isn't the boy put out the man no matter what? Well, the answer is because brachas reflect the hana'ah that we get, the pleasure that we get from it. So if it's not the derech hana'ah, it's not the normal way that we would really enjoy it, so then the bracha is altered as well. So bracha is a really interesting topic because it's kind of at the interface of the objective realm. How does this grow? Where does it grow? And from what does it grow? And the subjective realm, meaning how do I, as a human being, experience benefit from it? Sasi. Right, so that's a normal way. So even though, that's a good question, what Sas is really driving at are, like, let's say you take adaptations of things, but adaptations of things that aren't a way of changing its state of matter or are not, you know, something very, very, very unusual. So like a pickle is a great example of that, right? You take a cucumber and you process it in a slightly different way, but again, you know, you're not in that situation taking it out of the realm of normalcy. It could very well be, I don't know, it could very well be that there are as many pickle eaters in this planet as there are cucumber eaters. Pickles are very popular. It might depend on the culture, but it's certainly a normal way of eating the cucumber, right? I mean, just go anywhere. Pickles are, they're part of our religious tradition. You know, you can't have a deli without pickle, and you can't have Judaism without a deli. So there you have it. It seems pretty clear. It's like a straightforward, you know, way of having it. I don't know if you're wrong. Yeah, you need it both ways. There you go. Even in Iran, they have pickles. Okay. Cuba?
Pickles?
Yeah. Of course. Okay, so there you go. From Iran to Cuba, what else do you need to know? Okay, Barton. Right, so that's also a good question. And it depends on what the proof would be. So, again, I don't know. Maybe somebody here does. I don't know too many people who eat dried oranges. Anybody ever see a dried orange as a consumer item? I don't know. Does it
get orange?
What's that?
Dried
oranges?
Do you have dried fruits?
Yes, dried fruits, but it depends which fruit. So I. What's that?
Sure.
Do you know this gentleman?
Yes.
Thank you.